Labor Secretary Alexander Acosta is stepping down following criticism of his handling of a case involving Jeffrey Epstein more than a decade ago.
We saw Democrats say that they were going to invite him to testify about his handling of the Epstein case. And Republicans, while they didn't quite call for his resignation, had certainly expressed some concerns about his handling of the case and said it was something that they felt like needed to be looked into further.
Acosta steps down in a week and will be succeeded by the Deputy Secretary of Labor. This is What's News from The Wall Street Journal. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. Before we talk about Secretary Acosta's resignation, here are some other top stories we're following. The House has approved a bill to shore up the September 11th Victims' Compensation Fund to cover all current and future medical claims from survivors through the year 2090. The measure passed in a vote of 402 to 12 and will now go to a final vote in the Senate, which Republican leaders have said will happen before August. In the past, the fund had been renewed every 5 years. Medical experts now say the death toll from 9/11-related illnesses will soon surpass the number of deaths resulting from the attacks themselves. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin is urging Congress to raise the nation's debt ceiling before their August recess, saying the government could run out of cash in early September. Earlier this week, an estimate released by the Bipartisan Policy Center found the government could hit that date in the first half of September due to weaker-than-expected revenue collection. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi told reporters earlier this week that she hoped lawmakers would reach an agreement to raise the debt ceiling before lawmakers leave for August break on July 26th. Turkey has begun receiving a new air defense missile system from Russia. The U.S. has warned that Turkey could face sanctions for deploying the S-400 system, whose shipment cost $2.5 billion. A NATO official says the alliance is, quote, concerned about the potential consequences of Turkey's decision. Turkey's prime minister has said the shipment of the system is a sovereign decision. And Robert Mueller's appearance before the House Judiciary Committee has reportedly been delayed by a week. The Wall Street Journal reports that committee chairman Gerald Nadler has been seeking a longer session to question Mueller. Mueller had said his report following the investigation into Russian interference in the 2016 election is his testimony. Anheuser-Busch InBev is abandoning plans for an initial public offering of its Asian business. The nearly $10 billion Hong Kong IPO would have been the largest of the year. The company, which sells brands including Budweiser and Corona, says it's now calling the IPO off due to prevailing market conditions, which it says it will continue to monitor. U.S. Labor Secretary Alexander Acosta is resigning from his post after facing criticism for his handling of a case involving billionaire Jeffrey Epstein over a decade ago when Acosta was a U.S. attorney in Miami, Florida. Epstein was charged this week by prosecutors in New York with two counts related to sex trafficking of minors. Joining me now from Washington with more details is Wall Street Journal reporter Rebecca Ballhaus. Rebecca, Acosta had staunchly defended his handling of that 2007 case involving Epstein, where Epstein agreed to a plea deal. Acosta even answered additional questions during a press conference on Wednesday, but it seems critics weren't satisfied with his answers. How much had pressure been mounting on Acosta in these subsequent days?
Well, as you said, he spent a long time defending himself on Wednesday, held a press conference for more than an hour. And what we had heard shortly after the press conference was that the White House was, and especially the president, were largely satisfied with how he had done in that press conference, that they felt like he had defended himself forcefully enough that they were happy. On the Hill, however, it was a little bit of a different story. I mean, on Wednesday, I think before he spoke, we saw Democrats say that they were going to invite him to testify about his handling of the Epstein case. And Republicans, while they didn't quite call for his resignation, had certainly expressed some concerns about his handling of the case and said it was something that they felt like needed to be looked into further. So I think faced with the prospect of having to go to the Hill, having to address further questions about this, in addition to the fact that there was some response to his press conference that he had not totally accurately represented his handling of the case back in 2007 and 2008, it seems like he decided he just didn't want to keep having to answer questions about this.
What other details have we learned that have been brought up about the Epstein case this week?
Well, as you said, federal prosecutors in New York charged him this week with two counts related to sex trafficking of minors. But there were also a lot of pretty gory details that emerged from that case this week. For instance, agents searched his Manhattan townhouse after he was arrested on Saturday and found hundreds of nude photographs of young women, some of whom seemed to be underage. They also found, I believe, CDs that were labeled with women's names and possibly the names of other people who are in the tapes. So just a lot of really, you know, sort of gross details like that came out this week that revealed the extent of what appears to be, or at least the alleged sexual assault by Epstein on minors. And I think it really just was a reminder of what we had previously learned, a lot of which came from the Miami Herald, but also from reports at the time, that Acosta seems to have been involved in arranging a plea agreement with Epstein that resulted in him going to jail for just a little over a year. And it wasn't state prison. It was a wing of the Palm County Jail where he was allowed to leave for up to 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, and go to his law office downtown. That was something that emerged in the Miami Herald investigation. So I think all those details combined with what we learned about what federal agents found in his house this week just sort of really put the pressure on Acosta to finally answer some questions about this.
And when we heard from Acosta and President Trump speaking to reporters on Friday morning, Acosta did acknowledge that this was becoming a distraction. And we also heard President Trump express his support for Acosta.
Yes. The president said he's not happy to see Acosta go, but understood why he wanted to do this. Again, praised his press conference performance, said he's been a really terrific labor secretary. And Acosta, just for his part, said that he felt like it wasn't fair to the administration to have to keep talking about this Epstein case when they should be talking about the economy. And the president also said that this was fully Acosta's decision, that Acosta had called him this morning, said that he wanted to resign, and the president invited him to come address reporters with him. So we're not getting any signals right now that this was something that he was pressured to do.
And what does this mean for the U.S. Labor Department? There had been some struggles between Acosta and other White House officials over policy and the pace of the department's work.
Right. So that's been the interesting dynamic to watch here, is that totally separate from the Epstein issue, the White House has been really frustrated with Acosta for a while now over what they view as his overly slow pace of deregulation at the Labor Department. And in particular, Mick Mulvaney, the acting White House chief of staff, has been frustrated with what he believes is too slow of a pace. And we've seen that complaint also come from a lot in the business industry who feel like he's not doing enough and not doing fast enough. Acosta says that, you know, this way of doing things, doing it meticulously, is going to help what he does stand up better to court challenges in the future and make them harder to repeal in future administrations. But nonetheless, this has been a source of tension between the White House and the Labor Department. And the person who's going to be taking over for Acosta, his deputy secretary, is someone who is seen, at least in the business community, as someone who might be a little bit more of an aggressive deregulator. So that's going to be a dynamic to watch going forward, is if this is someone who's going to sort of satisfy what the White House is looking for a little bit better.
And that would be Deputy Secretary of Labor Patrick Pezzella.
That's right.
Thank you so much, Rebecca.
Thank you.
And now, an update on the grounding of Boeing's 737 MAX jets. The planes were grounded in March following two fatal crashes. Our reporter Robert Wall says the grounding has created huge disruptions across the aviation industry.
Take Southwest Airlines, the biggest buyer of MAX planes. For now, the airline has struck the model from flight schedules through October 1st. The budget airline had received 31 MAX planes at the time the fleet was grounded. More were due for delivery over the summer. In response, Southwest has had to cancel flights and juggle schedules. United, American, and Air Canada are among the other North American carriers to be hit. American has also had to cancel more than 100 flights per day because of the MAX grounding. Air Canada has rented planes from others, including Lufthansa and Qatar Airways, to make up for the shortage of seats with the MAX idled. And Iceland Air has now struck the plane from its schedule through October.
Wall says Boeing's supply chain has also been hit hard by the grounding, And Boeing is facing delays in fixing the 737 MAX's flight control system, which has been implicated in the crashes.
Boeing now says it won't submit its MAX fix to the FAA until September. The FAA and other regulators have not said when they, in turn, may clear the plane to resume carrying passengers. Until that happens, Boeing and its partners will have to deal with the massive hole left by the beleaguered 737 MAX.
For more on this story, check out the video on our website at wsj.com/video. That's what's news for this Friday afternoon. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.